Hello and welcome to the Summit Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. You can follow and stay connected by going to our website, www.thesummitchurch.ca.
This is something that the Lord just this week revisited in my spirit, just brought it back to my attention and wanted me to share this again. This is something that I've communicated over the years many, many times, but I think that today and in the hour that we're in, it's very important that this isn't just a word in theory, but it takes root in our hearts. And I want to talk to you about the renewed mind this morning, the renewed mind. There's a law in the spirit that I believe we can grab and understand that it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We know that we're under a new law, and it's the law of the spirit of life in Christ Jesus. And in this law of life in Christ Jesus, there is a predominance, there's a dominating factor that we stand in, and it's the kingdom of God touching this life, and all the laws of heaven now become the laws of this life. You think about Jesus. Jesus was never worried about sickness. Jesus was never worried about disease because Jesus lived in another realm. It was the realm of the kingdom. And he had diplomatic immunity in this life because he was from another kingdom. He functioned from another kingdom. And so when he touched sick bodies, his diplomatic immunity would be present. It would show up. And the sickness wouldn't get on him, but life would infuse the sick body. Let me give it to you this way. When you have an ambassador that's in another nation, that ambassador that is representing the home nation, even though it may be in another country, for example, a Canadian ambassador in another country has diplomatic immunity, meaning that the laws of that land do not pertain to that individual. And so if that ambassador gets pulled over speeding, that patrol officer cannot really give that ambassador a speeding ticket because he has diplomatic immunity, meaning he's not subject to those laws. As a matter of fact, if you're traveling and you're a Canadian and you're in another nation, if you get to the embassy, the Canadian embassy, no matter what nation you are in the world, you are legally on Canadian soil even though you're in another nation because that embassy represents another kingdom from a distant land. When Jesus showed up, he represented the kingdom of God. So everywhere he went, he wasn't on earthly soil. He was technically on heaven's soil. And that's why everyone that touched Jesus became healed. The sickness would leave. Demons would vanish because he lived in a realm of the kingdom, and it's a realm of diplomatic immunity. And I want to encourage you this morning to rise above the fear, to rise above the current trajectory in culture right now that says you have to be gripped with fear and paralyzed by what's going on in the world around you. I declare over you the life of God is on the inside of you. It's filling your body. I declare over your lungs, it's the life of God. And when you can consciously think that I'm breathing the life, the breath of God in me, no weapon formed against me can stop me. No sickness can come near my dwelling. No plague or pestilence can take me out. Come on, if you believe that, just say amen right there where you're at. But how this happens in our world is you have to begin to think differently. It's the law of attraction. The law of attraction states this, that you can have the ability to attract into your life what you focus on or dwell on. The Bible says it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, so he is, so is he. What you think on, you attract in your life. The same way goes with fear. Job declared, what I feared came upon me. And oftentimes fear and a mind gripped with fear is not the appropriate response because you will begin to attract demonic realms onto your life when fear is gripping your heart. And Job declared this, what I feared came upon me. But I want to tell you, what you stand in peace in the middle of has to dispel around you. That's why Jesus could rebuke a storm because he had the ability to sleep in that same storm. He wasn't caught up in the commotion of the day or the storm. But I want to tell you, what's in your mind today will be in your hand tomorrow. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. The Bible says that hope deferred makes a heart sick, but desire fulfilled is like a tree of life. Do you know a sick heart causes you not to focus, causes you not to see things appropriately in its proper perspective? A sick heart causes a blur in your vision, causes you to make judgments and decisions that you normally wouldn't make. But when you're full of life and hope and clarity, you understand that Jesus has victory in the end. And you can make decisions not based on fear, not based on worry, not based on what's going to happen tomorrow. But we can stand still and know that God, in his goodness, has all my days already numbered. And those days are good and full of life and full of health and full of prosperity. But many of you right now, I understand that as we're broadcasting all over the world, that many of you may not have a heart filled with hope this morning. Maybe some of your hearts are just through the circumstances really sick. And what you need right now is a supernatural jolt from the Spirit of God that causes a realignment in your heart to shake itself loose from the grip of fear and culture and realign itself with the purposes of Almighty God. And I declare that over you right now, just that sick hearts right now would receive a supernatural jolt from the Spirit of God that would cause your focus to shift in the name of Jesus. More than ever, I believe right now in the times that we're in, the Father wants us seeing things correctly. He wants you to see correctly. That's why Jesus always through Scripture, you would hear him say this phrase, "Let he who has eyes to see and ears to hear." Friend, right now we need eyes to see and we need ears to hear. I believe the Father is giving us a strategy and how to move forward. With eyes to see and ears to hear, even as a Summit church, I believe God's given us a strategy. I believe the days moving into Passover are going to be very key, very important the next several weeks. But even after that, I believe God's given us a very key strategy where we can still function in wisdom, but still yet be the church. Now, what I mean by be the church is be the church. Right now, there's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of chaos. There's a lot of uncertainty, and it's got everyone kind of sitting back, yielding to maybe what's going on in the current events. But I'm going to tell you, friend, it's not going to stay like that. It's not going to remain like that because God has a church that has meant to be assembled together, moving in power, moving in authority. And I believe we have a clear strategy from heaven, what that looks like. I'm going to be sharing about that in the weeks to come. So stay tuned for that. But Romans chapter 12, verse 2 says this. Romans 12, verse 2 says this. Romans 12, verse 2 says, "And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." That's in the New King James. The Passion Translation says it this way. It says, "Stop imitating the ideals and opinions of the culture around you." Wow. Let me say that one more time. Stop imitating the ideas and opinions of the culture around you, but be inwardly transformed by the Holy Spirit through a total reformation of how you think. This will empower you to discern God's will as you live a beautiful life, satisfying and perfect in his eyes. You know, we talk about this idea of conforming. Conforming. I find it fascinating in culture how easy culture conforms. I share a story. One time I was at Disney World, and if you've ever been there at Disney World in Orlando, they it's kind of comical. You get there and you go through the gate of Disney World, and it's very exciting because there's signs everywhere, and you think you're like at the park, but you're not. You're in this like million square foot parking lot, and you park in all of these different sections, and then you have to walk all the way down this long sidewalk, and you stand in a line, and you're waiting in this line with thousands of people that are all waiting in line to get in Disney World, and all of a sudden, you know, I've been there before, so I knew the protocol. This train will come and pick you up, or this long bus, and it will drive you to the actual gate. Last time I was there, I recognized this crowd did not realize that they weren't really at the gate yet, and they didn't realize this train was going to come pick them up. I'd been there before, so I knew. And this crowd is getting in just total chaos and panic mode because they didn't know what to do. And so this crowd starts walking towards the gate. And I'm thinking, that's several miles that you're going to be walking. And I'm just standing there and I'm listening to the people share and talk. And as the people are walking, they say, "I don't know where we're going. I'm just following the guy in front of me." And I thought to myself, well, that's the blind leading the blind, because in about 3 minutes, this train's going to pick me up and I'm going to be waving at all you guys walking in the hot Florida sun. And sure enough, it did. And all the people that didn't know what was going on, but they were following just the person blindly in front of them, they worked themselves a little bit more than they needed to. And this is a lot like culture. We follow just blindly the person in front of us without having a word from God, without having the truth, without having a real piece of what's going on around us. And the anchor that we need right now, the hope that we need, is the word of the Lord, friend. It's the word of the Lord. And I want to tell you, don't conform to the world around you. Stand on the promises of God in this season. Paul tells us that. Do not be conformed to this world. That word conform means to be similar in form and in type. But what Paul tells us here is to be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Transformed means this. It's a process of change. It's a change of form or nature of a thing into a completely different one. It comes from the Greek word metamorphoth. And this, it's a real funny word to pronounce, but it's where we get our English word metamorphosis. And this is what happens to the caterpillar when he's changed into the butterfly. It's a complete transformation. And Paul says this, you need to be transformed in how you think. Meaning the old way you used to think is not what's, it can't sustain you in this life. You need a Christ way of thinking. Be transformed in the way you think. And so let's talk about the renewed mind for just a minute. The renewed mind, I believe you see five dimensions of it in Scripture. And number one, more than ever, we need a mindset of thanksgiving. We need our minds transformed to have a mindset of thanksgiving. This is supernatural and from God, because right now it's easy when circumstances are changing and they seem depressing and they seem like there's no hope or light at the end of the tunnel. The renewed mind, the mind of thanksgiving, is never moved by current events or circumstances that's going on around us. It creates a posture of thanksgiving in all things. 1 Chronicles 16:34 says, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, and his love endures forever." Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. Ever wonder what the will of God for your life is? I know right now there's many people that are wondering, what's the will of God? What's the outcome supposed to look like? What's the will of God for my future, for my family? What's my ministry maybe? What's my business future supposed to look like? What is the will of God? I get this question asked me a lot. I get this question probably more frequent than any other question. And it's, Pastor, can you pray for me and ask the Father what the will of God is for my life? I want to tell you, the will of God for your life is to do this. You ready for it? It's a hidden key. It's a secret right here. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Let me read it one more time. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. So what's the will of God for my life? Give thanks. Even right now when things seem hopeless and people are losing jobs and the world around us, the economy's shaking, what do? Give thanks. How do you do that? Well, you govern your mind into the mind of Christ. Let Jesus transform it so that you don't look at what's going on around you, but you focus on heaven's perspective within you. And a renewed mind of thanksgiving says this, you know what? I may have lost something. I may have lost one thing. But one of the things about Scripture is you never see Jesus put emphasis on something that's lost. He always puts emphasis on, what do you have? You remember there was a prophet that visited a young widow, and this widow and her son were about to die. And he says, hey, make me a meal. She said this, I have nothing but a jar of oil. I have nothing but. Well, the prophet was trying to get her to not put emphasis on what she didn't have, but what does she have? The but transforms everything. I have nothing but a jar of oil. Number two, a mindset of hope. A mindset of hope. The person with the most hope in the room always has the most authority in the room. This is something that a good friend of ours, Dean Briggs, shared with us years ago. He said, you know, you could always tell who has authority in the room by who has the most hope in a room. You could always tell who has the most authority in the earth by who's trumpeting the most hope in the earth. That's why we're going to be a house of hope. That's why every time I get a chance to come on broadcasts like this, I'm not going to be talking about the destruction in the earth. I'm going to be talking about what Jesus is doing. I'm going to be talking about the church that is moving in power and in victory and in hope right now. You know, we just got an email last night of a woman that was cured of cancer, healed of cancer, right here in this church. Stage 4 breast cancer healed supernaturally by the power of God. Can I tell you, friend, we don't need reports of what the enemy is doing. I want to hear the report of the Lord. What is Jesus doing in this hour? I'll tell you what he's doing. He's healing bodies. He's saving marriages. He's saving souls. He's rebuking the devourer. He's casting out demons. Nations may be shaking, but the kingdom of God cannot be shaken. Everything around you may be looking chaotic and in turmoil, but I'm telling you, there's peace in the center of the storm if you can see properly. Jesus is releasing peace. And we need to have a mindset of hope going into 2020. Was very interesting because we never thought by March 2020 we'd be here, especially all the prophets that we're talking about. It's a year of 2020 vision. At the turn of the year, everything was about 2020 vision, but yet nobody could see what was happening today. I want to tell you, friend, right now, we, more than a prophet, more than your favorite person that you watch on Christian television, more than that, we need a personal relationship with Jesus Christ where we don't depend on what somebody else is hearing, but you open this Bible and you say, Jesus, speak to me. Speak to my heart. Speak to my mind. Let my mind be grounded and rooted in the word of the Lord that would give hope to my heart in a trying time. You know, and going into 2020, there was a lot of hope and a lot of expectation in business and in the economy and in the world. And let me just emphasize the world. There was a lot of hope in the systems of the world. And I believe that Jesus is saying, you know, the words were right, but I think our perspective and what we were looking at were a little bit off. And I think you need to have the same kind of hope and expectation, but not in the stock market, not in the price of oil. I believe that hope and expectation needs to be in Jesus and in what he's wanting to do in the earth, because there is a revival that is here and that is coming that is going to shake this world like the earth has never seen before. And that's true, friend. Romans 15:13 says this. Romans 15:13 says, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. A mind of hope will cause the greatest release of supernatural joy in your life. They're directly tied together. Friend, don't lose your hope, because if you do, you may lose your joy. Don't lose your joy, because if you do, you will lose your strength. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. You can always tell a person's strength by how much joy is present in their world. And you can always tell how much hope a person has by how much joy is moving in their life. We need hope. Hope produces joy. We need joy. Joy produces strength. Right now, I just want you to ask him, Father, fill me with the hope from heaven. Fill me with supernatural strength and joy from the Holy Ghost. Number three, the third dimension of a renewed mind is a mindset of honor. A mindset of honor. You know, in a culture of honor, leaders lead with honor by courageously treating people according to the names God gives them, not according to the aliases received from people. This is a quote from Danny Silk out of A Culture of Honor, and I love that. In A Culture of Honor, believers, he says leaders, I'll say believers, you lead and live your life with honor by courageously treating people according to the names that God has given them, not according to the aliases that they receive from people. You know, in a renewed mind, honor is easy. In an unrenewed mind, honor is difficult. It can be difficult to honor those when you have an unrenewed mind, when you see according to maybe how you feel that they're unfit to receive it. But in a renewed mind, you see honor as God's supernatural ability, and you see honor as a way that you see what God sees in people. That's really what honor is, if I'm saying that correctly. Anyone can define, let me say it this way. Anyone can define the circumstances of where someone is. But it takes the spirit of revelation and the spirit of honor to see where they're going and who God says they are. Number four, a mindset of optimism. A mindset of optimism. Let me give you Philippians 4:8 in this. Philippians 4:8 says this. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of a good report, if there is any virtue, and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. What is Paul telling us to do here? He's telling you to remove every other thought that opposes the thoughts of Christ and think on the things Christ thinks on. Pure things, true things, noble things, good reports, lovely. If there's any virtue and any praise, he tells us meditate. Take all those other thoughts captive, cast them out, and meditate on the purity of the Word of God. And this will give you a mindset of optimism. Optimism is that you're a person, if you're an optimist, that you expect the best in every situation. You just naturally expect the best. A pessimist is different than that. It's the opposite of an optimist. A pessimist has a tendency to see the worst in every situation. Right now, with what's going on in the world, we need optimists in the kingdom to emerge. And we need pessimists to keep their voices silent. And if you find yourself teetering on the side of a pessimist, just refrain from opening your mouth until you can take on the mind of Christ that produces the words of the kingdom. Listen, right now we need words of hope. We need words of truth. We need words of power. We need words of life. And if you don't have those things to say, just like my mama used to tell me when I was a kid, boy, if you can't say anything good, don't say it at all. Keep your mouth shut. Right now in the earth, we need a lot of news outlets to keep their mouths shut because it's doing nothing but crippling and gripping hearts with fear. And we need the voices in the church to arise and say, you know what? We're going to give the world hope. We're going to give it optimism because right now the world may be shaky, but it's not the end. It's a time of revival. It's a time of freedom. It's a time for the church to arise in power. We need optimists. Number five, a mindset of faith. A mindset of faith. And if I can have Nathan join me up here on the front, we're going to get some keys playing in the background for you. A mindset of faith. A mindset of faith is something, again, we need more than ever. This is looking and expecting God to do the impossible through you when you have a mindset of faith. A mindset of faith doesn't look for an answer in someone else. They choose to become the answer for the world's problems. I think right now it's easy to just kick back and just rest and trust or hope that somebody else is going to figure out the world's problems. Kind of just go with the flow. Well, somebody else is going to figure it out. Somebody else is going to solve this. Somebody else is going to take care of me. Somebody else is going to tell me what the future holds. Right now, we need a mind of faith. And a mind of faith doesn't look for someone else to take care of me. A mind of faith says, I'm going to take care of the world around me. I'm going to move in power. I'm going to move in hope. I'm going to move in victory. And most importantly, I'm going to move in the supernatural. Let me say that again, the supernatural. John G. Lake, a great healing evangelist in the early 1900s, was in South Africa. And when the bubonic plague, this plague was taking its course on all humanity, he, without gloves, without fear, would get with the people and begin to pray for the sick. And he watched thousands of people healed from this plague. People would question him. You're not making sense, John. You're moving in unwise territory. It's not wise to do that. And listen, if you don't have the faith to move in that kind of power, stay at home. But I'm telling you, the days are coming and the world is looking for fearless, courageous people full of faith and full of life. To get right in the middle of COVID-19 hospital rooms and say, you know what? I'm here and so is Jesus. I have resurrection life on the inside of me. And I'm here to pray for you. I'm here to release healing over your body. And this is a time where you're going to see a separation in people that really know they have power and know they're moving in supernatural healing, and people that were not sure all along. And again, this isn't to condemn anyone. This is a time to really reflect. Have I really had the faith that I thought that I had all this time? I agree with taking time and reset, and for the collective culture, we're doing that here as a church. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time for the church to emerge. There's coming a time for the church to emerge and say, you know what? As for me and my household, we're going to serve the Lord. We're going to move in power. We're going to move in victory. We're going to move in supernatural healing, and we're not going to cower back to the systems of this world, but we're a people of faith, not people of stupidity. I didn't say that. I said a people of faith, a people of faith. And a person of faith looks like this. I know that Jesus is with me. I know that greater is He that's on the inside of me than he that's in the world. And it's not just a mindset in theory. It's a posture of my heart that I know that I know that I know that I know that no weapon formed against me can prosper. No plague, no arrow, 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but I know it cannot come near my dwelling. I'm telling you, in the days to come, the world is looking for answers. And it's got to be you. It's got to be the church. It's got to be the church. I believe right now we have some blueprints. And I even want to tell you personally, how can I expand my faith in this time? How can I rise to the occasion? How can I be a person of faith and not fear? How can I be a person that really has faith in my heart, faith in my mind, not just this superficial idea or ideology of faith, but real tangible faith. What is faith? Faith is substance. Substance is matter, meaning it's tangible. It's the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of the unseen. You want to know what faith looks like? Looks like a courageous family being willing to pray for the sick. You want to know what faith looks like? It looks like a person willing to step out of a boat and walk on water because they hear the voice of Jesus calling them, saying, come on, walk to me, Peter, walk to me. You want to know what faith looks like? It looks like a person saying, you know what? I'm not going to be moved by the opinions of culture. I'm not going to be gripped with fear. I'm not going to hide. I'm going to let my voice be heard. I'm going to pray for the sick and know that they're going to be healed. Faith in the promises of God over your life. That's what we need right now. Friend, if you're a business owner, what are the promises over your business? I don't care what the stock market says. I don't care what media says. What are the promises of God over your business? If you're a kingdom business owner and you're someone that has employees and you're having to make the difficult decision, do you keep certain staff members on or do you let them go? I want to ask you, what are the promises over your business? And let's stand on those and say, God, we're going to trust you for supernatural ravens to come in unusual ways to help us sustain the economy. And when the world looks at you and they say, how are you doing this? You can say, I have faith in a God that maybe the world cannot see, but he lives on the inside of me and he's leading me and he's guiding me and I'm tuning my ear in to hear his whisper. What are the prophetic promises? You know, prophetic promises can have shelf lives. Meaning that it doesn't mean that God won't do what he said. It just means that he won't use you to do it. Because faith always has action to it. Faith is an action word. It's like love. Love is an action word. For God so loved the world that what? He gave. He sent his son. Love is an action. But so is faith. Faith is an action word. Doesn't mean that you have to even in the natural all the times do something, but your belief system of there being a greater power at force at work on your behalf means that you're giving God the ability to do the thing that you need done for you. The posture of faith, the rest, the trust allows God to move in your circumstances. But these prophetic promises that all of us have received, they have shelf lives. And I don't want to see you, me, this church, the nations, the world, the church watching at large, miss out and let promises slip out of our hands because we don't have the capacity to have faith in a season when God's saying, I need you to rise up just a little bit higher and believe me and trust me and watch me work. It's what we call the law of immediate response. The law of immediate response says that God's blessings will travel at the rate of my obedience. meaning that as I obey, blessings follow with me. As I disobey, I trip myself up and blessings can slip out of my hands. As I obey, blessings follow. It's the law of immediate response. It's what you see in the life of Abraham. When God told Abraham, Abraham, I need you to rise up in the morning, take your son, and you're going to offer him as a sacrifice to me. Abraham didn't wait 3 days. He didn't wait for an angelic confirmation. He didn't wait for a prophet to visit him. He didn't ask for a fleece to be sent out before the Lord of God. I need a double rainbow and a pillar of fire, and I need the clouds to turn into hearts. He didn't say any of those things. Abraham said one thing, and it was, yes, God, I hear you and I'll obey. And because Abraham obeyed quickly, a blessing followed quickly, and God provided a ram in the bush. For some of you, there's some rams in the bush that God has for you. They're bailouts. It's not from the government. It's not from Trudeau. It's not from Trump. It's not from any kind of plan that the government has. I'm telling you, there's some rams in the bush, some supernatural ways of sustaining you that the Father has for you. And it's the law of immediate response. When he speaks to you, I want to bless you with the grace to respond quickly. And don't wait. Don't wait, but move in what he says. Move in power in what he says. Move in faith when he says move. I want to give some instruction to us of what I believe the Father's speaking to the church corporately. I'm hearing many, many prophets say this. I'm glad that there are people that are trumpeting this. But last night, Nikki and I were talking and just feeling like that we need to position our heart in humility before God, because humility before God is our strength. Our strength is in no way or form what we can do in our own, but it's in humbling ourselves before God and letting his power work through us. And right now, we need a global effort of that in the church. And for the Summit Church, those watching, the Summit Edmonton, the Summit Valley, the Summit Op, the Summit Lawrence County, Summit Cross City, Summit Sao Paulo, all of our Summit locations in the U.S. and in the nations, and right here in Canada, if you're watching, I want to ask you with us, we're going to be going on a weekly time of fasting. Once a week for the next several weeks, all the way through Passover, of a 3-day water fast a week. If you can do that, great. If you can't and you don't have the health or the strength to do that, ask God what to give. But we are going to be calling a 3-day water fast once a week, every week, all the way through Passover. All the way through Passover. I believe Passover this year is a very significant time for the nations of the earth. It's a very significant time. So I want to read something that Chuck Pierce gave, and I want to kind of adopt it and take it on as really our own, because I believe it's the word of the Lord. But he gave four things that we need right now in a time of reset of our boundaries, our time, and really our world. Number one, find your rest. Some of you have been so busy, restless. Your internal world has been in chaos, and you've been running and running and running, trying to make ends meet, trying to just make more money, make more of a retirement plan. And all those things are great if they're put in their rightful place. But for some of us, even in the church, there hasn't really been an inward rest, a peace, a seated posture before the Lord. And I want to encourage you, find your place of rest in this hour. Number two, give an offering. You know, right now is a time to give. It's a time to sow seed, to sustain. I believe this, that when we plant seed, there's harvest for our future. For some of you that have been givers, and those of you that have sown many seeds, and it's a time where you could even make demand on your harvest and say, God, you've seen where I've sown. I'm calling for the rain of heaven to water those seeds so that supernatural abundance can flourish in my world. But I also want to prepare for my tomorrow. So give an offering. The Lord honors and remembers when you give a portion of yourself to him. We always want to give to someone more legitimate than ourselves. And this is a posture that we're going to be taking. Number three, take communion. I want to encourage you to take communion every single day, all the way through Passover. Take communion by yourself, with your family. Get some Welch's grape juice. Get some crackers. And before the Lord, take communion. This is the meal that heals. It's the meal that heals. Number four, and this is fast. Fast with us, if you can, at least one day a week. Find your rest, give an offering, take communion, and fast. These four things, I believe, are going to be key moving forward to humble ourselves, to actually lay ourselves before the Lord and say, God, we need heaven's strategy and heaven's answers for us in this hour that we're living in and in this time. Amen? Now, we also understand that there are many people watching that you need prayer. You need someone to touch and agree with you. And you're going through maybe crisis in your health, in your body, in your mind, maybe financially. We have a link provided that in a couple minutes, we're going to open it up. I want to go ahead and even give instruction even now in the service for all those that are watching that are on our prayer team. If you've been appointed to be on that call, to go ahead and log in to the Zoom call. And there will be a link provided in just a couple minutes. We'll open this up to you that if you need prayer, we have a Zoom link that you can click on, and one of our prayer leaders, Chris Frost, is going to instruct you in that Zoom call, and he's going to break you out by yourself in pairs with a team leader that's going to pray for you, so that way it's private, and your prayers aren't broadcast all over the call. But we do need everyone to log on first to do that, and I'll give the instruction to do that in just a couple minutes. At 11:40, I'll go ahead and say that we'll do that at 11:40. You can go ahead and call on the Zoom call. Before I do that, I want to take a minute and pray for you myself. And also say that if there's any prayer requests that you have, please email our office, info@thesummitchurch.ca, and just label it prayer request. If you send that in, type in your prayer request, send it in to us, and every prayer request will personally come across my desk. I'll be taking time throughout the week to pray for you, to pray with you, to call out your name, to declare the goodness of God, to declare healing in bodies, blessings, and everything that the Spirit of God leads me in those moments. And send your email. And if you are looking for a personal reply from one of our pastoral team, we'll make sure that we get back to you as well. Let's take a moment and let's pray now. Father, we thank you, God, that we're in a time that you're moving so powerfully. Thank you that we're seeing you do incredible things like heal cancer, heal bodies. Lord, we thank you that revival is not fragile. We've been saying this since January, that revival is not fragile, that this move of God is not, it's not fragile, it's not going to easily wear out, it's not going to slip away. And even right now, Lord, we just even declare that personal revival in homes, in living rooms, in kitchens, around dining room tables, around families just getting together to watch a movie and eat popcorn. I thank you that there's going to be a sense and the feeling of your Spirit dwelling right there with them. God, and we just declare the Spirit of revival, personal revival in homes and in families. Father, I pray for family prayer meetings to begin to take place and break out. I thank you, Lord, that you're calling the family back to the garden with you, back to the place of intimacy, back to the place of prayer. Father, we ask that you give us strategic ways of gathering, strategic ways of getting on Zoom calls and prayer calls with each other, Lord, in this time that we can still touch and agree, asking anything, knowing that it's going to be done. I just declare right now over every person that's watching that's sick in your body, I declare healing and strength. I declare healing over your mind, over your heart, over your spirit. I declare Isaiah 54 over you, that I declare the goodness of God is coming near your dwelling. I declare even right now that by his stripes you're healed. By his stripes you're healed. By his stripes you're healed. Father, I thank you that according to Psalm 91, no plague or pestilence can touch us. Lord, and according to Psalms 23, that goodness and mercy chases us down all the days of our life. And Father, right now, over everyone watching this broadcast, most importantly, I pray peace, a mind of peace in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' mighty name. We're going to be fasting as a leadership team here and in a team Tuesday through Thursday, every week, Tuesday through Thursday, all the way through Passover. If you want to join us with us on this fast. And again, don't let the water fast intimidate you, but do something. 3 days a week, we're believing God as we humble ourselves before him that he's going to move in the nations of the earth. Canada, I want to talk to you for a minute. I know there's many other nations watching, but Canada, there's been a prophetic word for years over us that we would be the healing to nations. That we would be the healing to nations. Friend, the nations need you. There's prophetic destiny over you as a Canadian citizen. Over you that live on Canadian soil, that you'd partake in the promises of God, that you are here for such a time as this. God chose you to be alive right now in this time. He didn't choose you to be alive 100 years ago or 100 years from now. He put you in the earth right now for a reason, and it's to be healing to the nations of the world. I just pray over you that you would be infused with faith. I pray over you that you would be infused with the life of God, that it would quicken your mortal body and fill you up from head to toe, that you would be anointed, that anointing of the Spirit of God would run over you, that it would drip down the beard of the Father right into your home and right over your life. God, I thank you that the anointing that breaks every yoke is the answer. God, we want the anointing. Just stretch your hands like this again. Lord, give us an anointing. The anointing that breaks the yoke, God. Release the anointing supernaturally over this broadcast into our hands. God, I thank you for the anointing to heal sick bodies. God, in a fearless heart that moves according to the word of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen.